The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
Early this morning, while I was praying, I asked the Lord a question: what shall we share with the people of this house? And this is what God said, and I typed it out because I value what God says. And I've always also emailed it, this word, to your pastors. He said, "Son, tell them that I will put an end to distractions that so often curb ministry momentum. For as the people of this house focus in on what is pleasing to me, they will continue to excel and to grow. I will even shorten the timeline of blessing. For many people connected to this house will flourish, and I will cause ministry upon ministry to rise from this house. So encourage them not to grow weary in doing good, but to persevere in all that I have called them to. And challenge them not to settle in on yesterday's level of faith, but to constantly seek out ways to increase and stretch their faith, so that I can increase my power within them. And to my servants say, many elements of leadership comes naturally to you, but it is not the natural elements of your ministries that will define you. You know that I will use you in supernatural ways to impact many lives. You will be my bridge between two worlds, reaching across cultures and natural human boundaries. As you listen to my voice, you will speak my words. And as you follow my lead, you will flow in the power of my Spirit, says the Lord." Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is doing great things. You know, I've often said the shortest distance between two consecutive blessings is obedience. Amen. And so many times we wait for an open door and then think, well, we've arrived. That's it. But I believe God's saying He will shorten the timeline of blessing. In other words, today you'll go through an open door, why not tomorrow also? Why wait for blessings that spread far apart? Why not one after the other, after the other? Come on. Society thinks that negative things happens in threes. Why not blessing? The Bible says, "I will pour you out a blessing that you will not contain." Hallelujah. "Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Not just one day, every day, all the days. Amen. So turn to someone and say, "I'm going to be blessed. I don't know about you." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and prepare to read out of John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I want to mention to you our resource table that's in the foyer up there. We wrote a book, Sharon and I, called Mountain Moving Men and Wave Walking Women, How to Do the Impossible Together with God. It's really a book on marriage, on relationships. If you've got a good marriage, you can get a great marriage. If you've got a bad marriage, you can at least get a good marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone said to a minister friend of us, you know, my life's just so bad. My life's so bad. And the pastor said, "Well, why do you say that?" He says, "Well, I'm married to the devil." Well, this book will turn the devil into an angel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It really speaks. You know, marriage is under attack today. And the enemy wants you separated. The enemy wants you divorced. The enemy wants to break up your family, that you end up with two budgets, two homes, and all double trouble. But God wants you to be strong, united, stand strong. There's even a chapter for those of you who are not married. You're still looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right. Hallelujah. We call that chapter... We called it menu-gazing men and window-shopping women. It's a chapter on discovery. You go to the restaurant and you order, you look at the menu, and then you see what stirs you, what you're in the mood for, what your appetite says. I'll never order chicken livers. If you eat chicken livers, you can steal too, man, I tell you. I'm just kidding. I'll eat collard greens above chicken livers. Hallelujah. But you know, some of you might love chicken livers like someone. So she can have a chicken livers. I'm going for steak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, once you've chosen your dish, eat it. Stick to the dish. Come on now. So you got to read that chapter. It's a good one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God? Turn to someone and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. I want to speak to you on the subject of who is sitting at your table. Who is sitting at your table? You know, culture today revolves around food and fellowship. I remember growing up as a boy, the family table was the gathering place, really. Especially on Saturday or Sundays, you know, after church, we would sit together and have a meal, and we would just hang out as a family together. I remember KFC here might be a fast food, but man, it was good food in South Africa. It was a special occasion. Dad went and got us some KFC once a month, because that's all we could afford, and sat around the table. Each got 3 pieces of chicken. Hallelujah. It was good. But family time, fellowship time, just time around the table, it's important. So I want to ask you, who is sitting at your table? You know, when I look at some people, it seems like depression is sitting at the head of their table, with oppression to the right and low self-esteem to the left, and pain on the other end. Who is sitting at your table? So some are so grumpy and so negative, I wonder, who are you fellowshipping with? So it's important to know who's sitting at your table, and we're going to look at the Word of God. You see, before I read, let me share with you, in Bible culture, the tables were not high with chairs and all formal-like. Tables were low on the low to the ground with pillows around the table. They would recline at the table and spend hours of their days reclining at the table in fellowship, and just they would do contracts and business deals around the table. If you would go and visit someone, you end up at the table. So who is sitting at your table? John chapter 12, let's read from verse 1. I'm reading out of the Amplified. He says, so 6 days before the Passover feast. Say Passover. That's much better, my brother. You've got proper English. Hallelujah. I don't know what the others have. Praise the Lord. 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was. Say Lazarus. Who had died and whom he had raised from the dead. So they made him supper. Turn to someone and say, mm-mm-mm. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Say, one of those. Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, which is a very rare and expensive perfume. The Bible says that was very expensive, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, and the whole house, say whole house, was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, the one of his disciples who was about to betray him, say betray, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, which is a year's wages for an ordinary workman, and that money given to the poor or the destitute? Now, he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Say thief. And having the bag, the money box, or the purse of the 12, he took for himself what was in it. He pilfering the collections. So verse 7, Jesus said, let her alone. Say, let her alone. It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation or for my burial. The Amplified adds this. He says, she kept it that she might have it for me for the time of my embalming. This was 6 days or a week before Jesus was going to die on the cross. Remember that. Verse 8, you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Now look at verse 9. Now a great crowd of the Jews heard that Jesus was at Bethany. They came out there not only because of Jesus, but also that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They didn't come to see a zombie. They came to see a better than before, alive and well, Lazarus, a miracle. And so verse 10 says, so the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also. Don't you know that the enemy wants to kill your miracle? Not only Jesus, but also the miracle. And then verse 11, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away, were withdrawing from the Judeans and believing in and adhering to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we want. That's what needs to happen. Amen. Faith in Jesus. So who's sitting at the table? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There's a progression to the table. This table would never have happened if Jesus had not done the miracle to raise Lazarus from the dead. But now that happened, Jesus visits Bethany again, and the Bible says the first one at the table is Jesus. Friend, let me say this. If Jesus is not at your table, you have no table at all. He is the bread of life. So what are you going to eat if he's not at your table? But if he's at the table, if only you have 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, hallelujah, you can have a big table. You can feed multiple, because Jesus can do miracles. Amen? Come on now. The Bible says that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but also that he's the head of the church. Not only should he sit at the table, he should sit in the most prominent part, the head of the table, because he's the head of the church. And who is the church? We are the church. And so, who's sitting at your table? Can I ask you, is Jesus sitting at your table? You see, who's the most prominent feature or figure in your life? Is it God Almighty? Is it Jesus? Or are you looking at some political figure? Or are you celebrating some celebrity? Friend, they might disappoint you, but if Jesus is at your table, you will never be disappointed. Hallelujah. You have to get Jesus at your table. So they made him supper. Now, this supper was not just any meal. It was the big meal. Turn to someone and say, a big meal. This was the meal of the day. It was not some hors d'oeuvres, some little snack, or some Subway sandwich. I love Subway, hallelujah, but it's not a big meal unless you get the 6 foot one. Hallelujah. This was the supper. It's the same word in the Greek language that is used of the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Messiah's meal. Hallelujah. It's a big feast. It's a glorious time. Listen, if you want fellowship with God, if you want to sit at God's table one day, if you want to see God in your life, Jesus has got to be at your table. Amen? I'm not talking about the historical Jesus. I'm not talking about just the one who lived 2,000 years ago and did some miracles and now he's in the grave. Because he ain't in the grave. Hallelujah. He arose. He's alive. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. I'm not talking about a futuristic Jesus that waits for us in heaven. I'm talking about Emmanuel, God with me. Ah, the reality of Christ must be in your life. Is Jesus sitting at your table? Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? Now, the second person we find at this table is a man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus is the dead man walking. He's the one who was gone. He's the one who was in the grave. He's the one everybody gave up on. He was already being mourned. The Bible says he was in the tomb until Jesus came. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus has a way of resurrecting dead people? Praise the Lord. He can breathe life where there was death. If your dream is dead, he's your Lazarus in the tomb. Get Jesus at your table, because if Jesus is at your table, your Lazarus will be alive. Amen? Now the Bible says we all were dead in the trespasses of our sins. Did you know that the Bible says in Romans 6 verse 23 that the wages of sin is death? That's Lazarus. Turn to someone and say, you Lazarus, you. You see, every single one of us have sinned and we fell short of the glory of God. Sin will kill you. Sin causes you spiritually to be dead. You flatlined. It's over. Listen, there's no resuscitation. You need resurrection. The Bible is very clear. The soul that sins must die. But I tell you what, there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The agent of death is sin in our lives. But Jesus Christ has a power and potency in His blood, in His DNA, to remove the agent of sin, the agent of death in our lives. And because He can pull death out of us, He can put life into us. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God there was a time when I, Rudy Swanepoel Lazarus, was in the grave. But Jesus came to my sinful tomb and He said, Rudy, come forth in Jesus' name. I gave my heart to Jesus. Jesus calls it to be born again. Ooh, to live a new life. Paul, the Apostle Paul writes it this way. He says, if you are in Christ, the old things have passed away. Say, passed away. Look at how quickly you learn. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if in America this works it as well, but in Africa, when you say someone's passed away, it means they're dead. Come on now. The old has passed away, praise the Lord. But everything has become new. Listen, friend, who's sitting at your table? If you've got Jesus at the head of your table, you've got Jesus in your life, you can have fellowship with Almighty God. But listen, don't just have Jesus there. The resurrection life that He's given you must be at the table too. The new life. Hallelujah. I am born again. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I really live. Hallelujah. Friend, listen. God wants to save your soul. He wants to touch your life. Who is sitting at your table? Do you have the Lazarus element? See, Lazarus is also your testimony. Lazarus is the miracle of God in your life. Listen, we don't just believe in Jesus, a Jesus that doesn't do anything for us today. Jesus did not just do miracles 2,000 years ago, and now we're kind of in a lull until we get to heaven and the miracles will resume. God doesn't change. He's yesterday, today, and forever the same. Every day today, He heals, saves, delivers. Hallelujah. He does things in our lives. He leads us. He guides us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. If Jesus is in your life, Lazarus, the miracle, the supernatural will be in your life. As a matter of fact, if you want to make a difference in this world, if you want to reach out to your community, oh, get Jesus at your table, because people will come to see Him in you. They want to hear what you got to say because it's Jesus speaking through you. Hallelujah. But not only that, if they see the miracle in you, if they see a new life, if they see someone who was who was bound in alcoholism, now living a free life because of the glory of God. They're going to come and say, what happened to you? And you'd be able to say, oh, I've got someone at my table that set me free. Hallelujah. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. Turn to someone and ask them, is Lazarus sitting at your table? It's the resurrection power of God, the miracle element, the supernatural. You see, it's Lazarus at your table that takes belief and makes faith out of it. Just a simple belief is kind of just an adjective. I have belief. I have religion. I believe. But listen, faith is a verb, not an adjective. Come on now. Faith without works is dead. Lazarus is the works of faith. Hallelujah. And that's why we need him at the table. Let's go to the next one. The Bible says Martha served. Say served. If you're a believer and you're part of this tremendous movement called Christianity, then you have to have the Martha element at your table. You cannot just sit on your blessed assurance doing nothing, waiting one day to get to heaven. Come on now. God's people are not lazy people. God's people are workers. God's people are servants. And Martha was a servant. So many times I hear people are putting Martha down and say Martha was not as close to Jesus. Mary was the one at the feet of Jesus, so Martha was kind of rebuked. But that's not true because Jesus himself was a servant. The Bible actually gives him the title of the servant of the Lord. You will find Jesus at the table washing the feet of his disciples. He does service to them. He's waiting on them. We find a whole group of people coming together. They're ready to eat. And here we find Jesus, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He breaks the bread and the fishes and orchestrates. He does the service. He's a servant. Let the same attitude of Jesus be in us. The Martha element is important. We need to serve God. The Apostle Paul writes, he says in the book of Corinthians, he says, let us be known as servants of Almighty God. First and foremost, servants of Almighty God, and then stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Turn to someone and say, you servant, you. Sometimes you go to someone that goes to church and you ask them, what's your ministry? And they say, attendance. Attendance is not a ministry. That's no service at all. The word service out of the Greek here, when it says Martha served, it literally means to wait upon, to be an attendant, to complete the commands of God, to do and facilitate the commands, to just obey. That's servanthood. Hallelujah. Will you be a servant of Almighty God? Who is sitting at your table? Ah, kick laziness out and put Martha at the table. Hallelujah. Of your life. The fourth person I want to speak to you about is Mary. Mary. The Bible says Mary was the one that took that expensive perfume and anointed Jesus' feet. Now remember, Mary may have been at the feet of Jesus, but she wasn't far from the table. Because the table was close to the floor anyway. So while Mary was sitting at the table, she also was at the feet of Jesus. Because Jesus was reclining on the pillow, remember? So here she is anointing Jesus. That was her worship. Listen, what is the Mary element? It's extravagant worship. You cannot serve God and not worship Him. You cannot have Jesus at the table and not pay homage and devote your life to Him. There will not be a Lazarus. Listen, do you really think Lazarus would pay no attention to Jesus? Jesus was the reason he was at the table. He wouldn't have made the meal if Jesus did not bring him out of the tomb. Come on now. You and I would not even be here if it was not for the act of God bringing us here. Hallelujah. And so, when Lazarus was dead, Mary was sitting among the mourners. But when Lazarus lived, hallelujah, she's at the table worshiping. When Lazarus was dead, Martha was sitting around the mourners, the naysayers, the negativism, the ones that will pat you on the back, give you a Kleenex and say, it's going to be okay. Thank God for sympathizers, but you know what? I'll rather have resurrection power and see Lazarus alive than to say, oh, you'll see him again. Come on now. This is a better one. Hallelujah. So Mary is worshiping. Extravagant worship. Listen, your worship must cost you something. Worship can never be cheap. The expense of this perfume was a whole year's wages. This is big. You take your monthly wages you bring in for your job, and you know, it's tax day tomorrow, I think. Hallelujah. For most of us it is. Tax day tomorrow. So what was your taxable income? What was your total income for the whole year? That's the cost of Mary's worship. There's a principle here. Don't cheapen your worship. Too many Christians believe that all the worship they do is singing songs on a Sunday morning. That's worshiping, but that's not all that worship accomplishes and encompasses. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is expensive. The cost of worship is your pure and holy living. The cost of worship, I'm going to obey your pastor. The cost of worship, what did I say, is your pure and holy living before God. Hallelujah. You cannot live wrong and die right. You cannot live in the slop of this world and dine at the table of God on Sunday morning. You cannot do just whatever you want to do and think, hey, oh, it's okay, God saved me. Listen, if you really want to be devoted and worship God, live holy and pure before Almighty God. Do your due diligence. Give Him glory and honor. Don't be distracted by all the stuff of the world. Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Devote your life every day to the Lord. That's your worship. Man. Turn to someone and say, uh-oh. Glory, glory. You still getting something out of this? Turn to someone and say, wake up, the good part's starting. I'm trying to find a landing spot. Verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, say Judas. The one of his disciples who was about to betray him, he was also at the table. The voice of the betrayer dines at the same table. Who is sitting at your table? I want Jesus there. I want Lazarus there. I want Mary there. I want Martha there. But Judas, you get out. See, the problem is Judas was one with them, but he was not really with them. The voice of betrayal will make you think that you are like-minded, but your hearts are far apart. The voice of the betrayer is very, very subtle. The voice of betrayal, Judas, will side with you, but he's really against you. The betrayer, he identifies waste that is in actuality worship. What did he do? Mary is worshiping extravagantly, paying homage to God with rare perfume, a costly price. It was beautiful to Jesus because she devoted it to God. It was already designated for Jesus anyway. What you have in life is His anyway. You don't own anything. So that perfume was not designated for the poor. She was going to embalm Jesus' body when He dies. It was going to happen 6 days, and unfortunately, he died right before the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, embalming was not allowed to happen, so they buried Jesus without embalming. There was no time. Jesus gave her time prophetically to embalm him 7 days before his death. Do you see the power and the beauty of it? Worship has a prophetic element. Sometimes you're going through the ringer and the devil's beating up on you and you feel depressed and down and out and you feel up against it and you don't feel like praising. But when you get your praise on, you're stepping into the realm of prophecy. Hallelujah. You're actually saying, devil, I'm not going to listen to the reality of my situation. I'm not going to listen to the naysayers and the voice of Judas. I'm going to worship the Lord. It costs me something. I'm going to be generous. You see, when you sow a seed into the kingdom, you become the seed God can sow into someone else's life. Wow. Judas is at the table. Look how Judas clothes his selfishness in a cloth of humility or nobility. He says, we could have given this to the poor. You're wasting. Jesus says she's worshiping. Judas says you're wasting. See, when you really devote your life to God and you serve Him no matter what, in the ups and the downs, when you hit the downs, there will always be a betrayal voice that says, it's no longer worth serving God. You might just as well give up. You're wasting your time. You're believing for a miracle for your family. Ain't never going to happen. Who do you think? Well, go spend your Sunday mornings with some noble cause. That's what the betrayal will say. He'll make you feel like you're wasting your time when in God's eyes, it's the best time you can spend. I love Jesus because Jesus silenced him. See, Judas is a thief. He steals. He steals. Oh, man, don't make me preach on Judas. Jesus silenced him at the table. See, every one of us at our table, there will be voices of negativism. There'll be someone that has something to say about what God wants us to do, to prevent us from going. When we started to plan Tanzania, man, I tell you, this is the biggest step of faith we've ever taken in one single thing, to reach the most people we've ever reached in 1 week. Multiple thousands of people, but you know, that sounds all glamorous. We had to fight tooth and nail to get where we are. The full budget of the trip is $60,000 that we did not have. We couldn't wait until we get it, then we'll never do it. Come on now. Yeah, come on. It's a faith walk. You take the step and you do what God wants you to do and believe God will fund it. Hallelujah. You don't believe God will fund it and then, listen, if God sends the funds first, you might use it for something else. So we go, well, man, we are being fought tooth and nail. Every week, it's so weird. Lord, we need to go. We need to do this. We've done many outreaches, but Tanzania, I mean, it's just battle upon battle. But you know what? Hallelujah. Jesus is silencing the doubt. If Jesus was not at the table, hallelujah, I would not be sitting at that table. But because Jesus is at the table, the miracle will be sitting at the table with us, along with our worship and service to the Lord. Amen. So who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the voice of Jesus at your table or to the voice of Judas at your table? Which J are you going to listen to? Jesus or Judas? Judas will say waste. Jesus will say worship. I want Jesus at my table. Hallelujah. Jesus silenced him. Now, it's interesting. You never read of Lazarus again. This was the week before they actually killed Jesus. The same people that asked for Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, was the same people that wanted to kill Lazarus. One can extrapolate out of the Word of God that Lazarus was killed that same week. You don't read of him again. The enemy's out to kill God's presence in your life as well as his miracle working power in your life. He wants Christianity to be reduced as a religion. It's never a religion, it's a relationship. It's a personal attachment to a living God. It's not a belief system. And so Jesus at the table is not a concept of character building. It's not a concept of leadership. Jesus is Almighty God in our lives. We need Him in our lives. Friend, you might be facing the challenge of your life. You might be facing the most daunting prospect. If Jesus is at the table, hallelujah, something amazing is going to happen. Praise God. That's a sign right there. You need to understand, Jesus must be at your table. Number two, God wants to bring miracle power into your life. Is Lazarus at your table? Number three, be a servant of Almighty God. Listen, you're going to serve someone. Who are you going to serve? It might just as well be Jesus instead of anything else. Let me just say one more thing about Judas. And I'll say it over the microphone. Hallelujah. Praise God. There we go. The cost of the perfume of Mary's worship was one full year's salary. Judas sold Jesus out for 30 shekels or pieces of silver. I did some research here. Some dictionary says it was a beggar's wage. It's $22. 30 pieces of silver. Others say it was the going rate for a common slave. Mary devoted a whole year's of wages. That's how she viewed Jesus. Lord, you're worth it. Judas reduced the value of Jesus to a common slave. He sold Jesus as a common slave. Jesus is not yours to sell. He's no slave. He set slaves free. Amen. Hallelujah. So right now, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Can I ask you, who is sitting at your table? There are people here, you feel like your table's empty. You feel like you're alone in it. There's no one really that you can share life with, that you have fellowship with, that you want to spend time with. The table of your life is almost non-existent. It's like the McDonald's drive-thru. Fast food at best. Friend, Jesus wants to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He wants to dine with you. He wants to feast with you. Will you invite Him to your table? Will you designate His spot in your life and say, God, you should be at the head of my life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Is Jesus in your table? Is He in your life? Is He in your family? Is the reality of Him the reality of you living in Him? With every eye closed, every head bowed right now, I want to give you an invitation. I'm going to pray a prayer to invite Jesus to our tables. If you're sitting here and you doubt, you don't know, there's hesitation, you don't know if Jesus is at your table, but you want to make sure that He is. You want to say, God, come sit at my table. Come share my life. I want fellowship with you. Oh, the table of God is a table of victory and a table of blessing. But Jesus has to be at that table. If you want to be included in this prayer I'm about to pray, and you say, Rudy, I want to make sure Jesus is at my table. He's at my table. He's in my life. If that's you, you want to be included in this prayer, slip up your hand. We'll pray for you right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless 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 you. Thank you. God bless you. We're in the back. God bless you. God is speaking to people. They want to make sure Jesus is at my table. Hallelujah. I'm going to give a second invitation. There are people here, you say, Rudy, you know what? I have invited Jesus to my table. But there's still death in my life. Some dreams that I've been holding on to is kind of dead. I need resurrection power. I need Lazarus at my table. I need the miracle of God at my table. I need a work of God in my family. I need a work of God in my life. I just want to believe God for Lazarus to be at the table. That Lazarus element, that new life, that magnetic force that announces the splendor and the glory of God in your life. Lazarus is not there, but you say, I want Lazarus. I need a touch, a miracle of God today. If that's you, thank you. Slip up your hand right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over this place. As a matter of fact, everyone who put up your hands, just stand to your feet with me. Just stand to your feet with me. There's some of you that said, I want Jesus in my life. And there's some of you that said, I need the Lazarus effect. I need a miracle, a touch from Almighty God in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray in 15 seconds. If you can, at all, if it's at all possible, will you step out of your seat and come stand right here with me in front? I want to just pray a personal prayer with you. It's going to be a prayer of breakthrough, a prayer of invitation. Jesus, come to my table. Hallelujah. You see, if Jesus is at the table and Lazarus is at the table, Mary and Martha will be there too. So come on down. Oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Will you lift your hands to heaven? That's where your help comes from. Let's pray this prayer aloud. Pray it loud enough that you hear the sound of your voice and that God knows you mean business with Him right now. It's just a prayer of dedication. An invitation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I invite you to my table. I invite you into my life. Come sit at the head of my table. You are the most valuable person in my life. Because you are God, I dedicate my life to you. Lord, I've messed up so many times. I have sinned, but please forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, make me alive again. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name, and I give you honor and glory. Thank you for loving me, Lord. I love you right back because you're an awesome God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these precious folks standing with their hands raised up to you. Lord, I thank you that you touch each and every one right now. God, I thank you that you are stepping into their lives, that you are acknowledging that invitation. You coming in, sitting at the table of their lives, Lord, having a feast. I pray, break bread with them today. Let them eat of the bread of life and drink of the living water that you alone can give. Let them encounter you, Almighty God, on a whole new level, and we give you glory. Lord, we thank you also for miracles to take place. We thank you because, Jesus, you are in their lives. Now we pray for the mighty acts of God to follow. Let Lazarus come alive. Lord, we thank you. Some of them have been born again. Lazarus has just come out of the grave. Some of their dreams have been dead and gone. But God, you bring new dreams. You make it alive and well again in them. Lord, I speak a blessing over them. I speak your life-giving power on their lives. And I pray, God, that you will be with them, that you will walk with them in this week, Lord, that they will experience the fellowship of Almighty God on a whole new level in their lives. We pray in Jesus' mighty and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.
Come on. Come on, church. Let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, church.